Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears coming back at you here on a Friday night, Getaway Friday, April the 19th, 2024. Joined in studio by, well, a Friday night gang here. Matt Morgan, Mike Wilson, and Miranda Hundley. How about that? We're getting some cheers out there from people who are listening, saying different than normal, but entertaining. So there you go. That's all you need to hear for something like this. We did have somebody calling in there. We were at break, so if that's you, give us a buzz. 740-383-9944. The phone lines are open again. 740-383-9944. Oh, where were we in the conversation of life before we went to break there? What were we talking about?
Cat litter?
No.
There's been so many conversations.
We did enough on the cat litter, I think. I think we've done enough with the cat litter. How about this? College star Caitlin Clark was the number one draft pick in the WNBA. She just signed with the Indiana Fever for $76,000.
By the way, I looked it up.
Now, hold on. I'm not done yet.
Go ahead.
Boy, you have a terrible temper interrupting tonight. $76,000. The entire Fever payroll is $1.2 million. Now, to put that in perspective, that's less than the minimum an NBA player with 1 year experience makes. Their entire payroll. So there you go.
All right, so I did look it up, by the way, and the highest paid WNBA player makes $252,000 or something like that a year.
Okay.
Ooh, what's her name?
I thought you looked it up.
I don't know her name.
But you're going to come with facts. You got to come with them to the table.
Plays with, like, the Oakland Aces, like, three-time MVP, so, you know, so I guess she gets paid for
it. No, but the number one draft pick makes $76,000. That's it.
Yeah, okay, but
that's a lot.
No. For the NBA players who are making millions and millions of dollars,
But once again, we got to look at the numbers, okay? And we talked about this earlier this morning.
And you were wrong then.
No. The NBA, like, an annual revenue of $10 billion a year.
Okay.
Billion with a B, okay?
I understand what a B is.
And then the WNBA has an annual revenue of $200 million.
Why?
They don't have people who watch it.
Do they
get
the kind of exposure? Have they been around as long? Are they giving them the rights that they should?
That's not a question for me.
No, but I think we need to know these things before we go shooting numbers out.
I just, like I said, you can't pay the players as much as the NBA gets paid because the NBA is a multi-billion-dollar league, and you just can't do that. Like the salary cap for the NFL team is like $253 million.
The question is, don't you think these games are undervalued when we just had a college basketball season in which the women had their most watched game of all time, which I think rivaled the men?
I don't know. I mean, I think if you put it on TV, it'll get...
Clearly, we're not paying them what we are paying the men for the same type of television numbers and contracts and so on. But don't you believe, Mike, that there's always been these inequities between female sports and men's sports?
Yeah, but I think there's a bigger audience for the men's than there is for the women's. I don't know why, so don't ask me that.
No, but I'm sure there is. I'm sure there... But to that tune, to the tune of that dollar amount...
Well, and one of you brought up a little bit ago about how much the NBA is bringing in compared to the women's.
Right, but now see, here's another problem. When you have an NBA game going on every night, how can you televise the WNBA games if you've bought the NBA package? You can't put everything on. You don't have that kind of space.
That's true.
Yeah.
I found easy solutions here. Just do what the UFL did, because they used to be the XFL, but they merged.
The
basketball season, I don't know how long it lasts, but it's not year-round, because then they wouldn't have an off-season, and they wouldn't have a draft time and things like that. So, I think when the NBA ends, you should just start the WNBA.
But then you would be competing with football or baseball. It'd be the same problem.
I mean, but those are different audiences. A lot of the people who watch football don't watch basketball, and vice versa.
No, but the television time would still be limited, because if you're a sports network like ESPN, you're going to do football in the winter, you're going to do baseball in the spring, you're going to do...
So I have a question for you. What do you suggest they do? Open up, like 10 new channels to put the women on?
No, I think you do 50-50 and see what happens. See if that many people are watching the women. If nobody's watching them, then take it off. But let's try it out. Let's see what happens. Because clearly when you put it on, much like college basketball, people did watch it.
I don't know. I think that, I mean, I don't know the numbers for the college basketball thing, so I couldn't tell you anything. But, like I said, the NBA makes $10 billion a year.
I understand.
That's 50 times what the WNBA makes.
Miranda, you being the girl, what do you think?
I don't know... sports or letters or
no, but do you think that women are treated as fairly in any kind of sport as a man would be?
I don't know. I didn't play sports.
No, but do you think this money's correct?
I would be happy making $76,000 a year. So, like, I don't know. Like, I would like that.
But if the man for the same job is making millions,
how much more are men making?
A lot more.
The minimum pay for a rookie in the NBA is around $1.1 million.
Tell me, the number one draft pick in the NBA is that making $1.1 million?
Roughly.
I don't think so.
So why?
That's the minimum you're allowed to pay him. So, I mean, that's
right, probably. But I don't think the number one draft pick would go there if he was getting the minimum.
Well, I mean, you see, I don't think you understand how draft picks work. I mean, once you get drafted somewhere.
Explain it to me, Matt.
That's the option.
Go ahead and explain it.
You get drafted somewhere.
Well, you're getting awful salty tonight.
You get called up from this team and says, hey, you want to come to our team? And, like, it's more of like a courtesy ask. They're like, hey, you're coming to our team.
No, the number one draft pick is the one that everybody wants. Why would you pick them first if you didn't want them? You have to have, and a lot of times the draft pick will sit it out. If it's a bad school, they'll say, you can draft me all you want, but I'm not going to play. I'll just sit out the season.
Schools don't draft people. Schools go on scholarship.
I mean, teams.
You don't usually sit out for bad teams.
Oh, I've heard that happen many, especially in football. They'll say, if you're a bad team and you draft me, I'm not going to waste the first year of my pro team.
No. So usually,
why are we getting to this conversation?
Usually, if anybody is sitting out in the NFL, it's because they're not getting paid what they think they should be getting paid. It has nothing to do with the quality of the team.
I've known this to happen many times. Because the first team that gets to do the drafting is the team that had the worst season, before. So the player does not want to go their first year in the NFL to the team that has the worst record.
I mean, sucks to suck. That's how the draft works.
But they're not going to do it. How many times does it happen? How many times does the number one player with the best score end up on the worst
team? Far more often than not.
No.
Far more often than not.
Give me some examples. Miranda, what do you think?
I will whip... Okay, hold on.
We'll come back to you in a second.
I need the question one more time here, so I make sure I'm looking up
the right thing. Where the best player played for the worst team.
Best player in the draft? Or, like, the first overall? There's a difference.
The best player in the draft played for the worst team.
Well, I mean, you don't... The best player in the draft isn't a first-round player. Like, I mean, Tom Brady was, like... I'd say Tom Brady was probably the best player in that draft, and he came in out of the sixth round.
Right, because he let them know, if you draft me, I'm not going to play.
No, there's seven rounds.
It does happen.
There's seven rounds. So what?
I know you get passionate about these sports, but we're going to go on.
You're wrong. I just felt the need to throw that out there.
Well, I don't think so, but that's okay.
Okay.
That's what opinions are. Miranda, what do you think?
Why
you shake your hand all you want?
I'm wondering why I have been in college for almost a decade when I could have just learned how to play basketball.
That's all you need. You get the big dough.
Why the hell didn't I do that?
Matt, Mike, what do you think?
Well, that brings up my question, which kind of goes off on a tangerine or tangent or whatever here. Why are these players getting so much money when we have people that are teaching, when we have firemen, when we have policemen that should be getting more?
Apparently, according to Matt, because they don't make the revenues.
But they're making a difference.
Oh, it doesn't matter.
These players are not making a difference. They're just entertainment.
There you go.
Entertainment people should not be getting this kind of money.
So a lot of the times for a professional sports league, they do give out awards at the end of the year for players who give back the most. I don't know what it's called in all the leagues. I only know the NFL's, and it's Walter Payton Man of the Year Award. And the one who gives back the most to their community usually wins that.
But I don't think that was Mike's question.
I mean, he said that they don't give back. I just felt the need to...
No, I think...
They do.
Is that what you said?
Like, no, he asked why they're...
I don't think that's what Mike said. I think...
I mean, he had said that there was, like, inequity in pay there because teachers and things like
that.
But, like, I mean, as far as... I mean, they don't get health insurance and things like that. I mean, like, what they get paid is what they get paid.
But they can afford health insurance.
Apparently.
I mean...
They can afford my health insurance. My kids' health insurance.
Yeah, I understand. But, like, if you get to the NFL, you are, like, I don't even think you're 1%. I don't know the exact percentage. I don't know, but, like, of all the players who play sports, only, like, 1% of them tops make it to the NFL. So you are the best of the best in the world.
But I don't think that's Mike's question. Mike, what was the question?
So, I mean, you're getting paid because you're the best to do it.
Okay, you're the best to do it, but what are you doing? You're being entertainment. You are not doing something to make a difference, like a teacher.
There. Go ahead, Colin.
It's the free market, Scott. Matt is absolutely correct.
Well, there's a thing you don't hear very often.
Capitalism.
Well, What's the logic? Go ahead.
Well, that's the revenues for the NBA are, you know, astronomically higher than the WNBA. If there was a market for the WNBA and you had that revenue stream, then they would make more money.
I mean, you could argue that there isn't a market for it because it's not on TV, but I mean, I think that it's usually argued that it's not on TV because there's not a market for it. Like, people don't attend the game.
Exactly. It's not on TV because there's not a market.
I'm telling you.
If people cared and they wanted to watch it, they're aware of its existence.
That,
it's not like people are like, oh my God, I want to play basketball. Oh man. No, that's not the case.
No, that's not exactly true, though. Because I have known many times when whatever sport it was, when they lose their television, attendance goes down, people don't know when the games are going to be on, and it affects the team greatly. And I think that's what's happened here. When has the WNBA ever... I'm not saying they're going to have the same ratings that the NBA has, but when have they ever been put on the same footing that the NBA has to find out if people are watching the games? They've never had that kind of footing. If you put a movie on at 9 o'clock at night, it's going to be watched by a certain amount of people. Put the same movie on at 4 a.m., it's not going to be watched by the same amount of people. It's
you know what would get ratings, Scott?
What's that?
LeBron James came out as a woman, and then he joined the WNBA. And then he could dominate the WNBA, and they could broadcast the games, and I'm sure the ratings will go up.
Well, but that's just the point. I mean, see, the thing is, you've got to know it's happening, and you've got to know where it's happening, and until you break that barrier, you're going to have problems.
So,
you can have the best product in the world, but if nobody sees it, it doesn't matter.
There are loads
of... people would see it if people cared.
That's not
true.
They
would make it.
That's not true.
If people cared.
That's not true at all.
That is totally true.
A lot of people feel...
Totally true.
A lot of people feel that baseball is far superior to other sports, but there are so many games, and they're at odd times of the day, that they're not going to get the ratings that football is, which typically has one or two games every week. It's just not going
to
happen.
What has been baseball's problem? And they have tried to address it with trying to speed it up. I love baseball.
Why is everybody so combative tonight?
It's slow. It's boring and slow. And that's why they tried to juice it up in the 90s, why they ignored everybody like Mark McGwire and Barry Bonds and everybody like, you know, Jack and steroids, because they wanted home runs. And now they speeded up the, you know, tempo of the game and stuff. But, no, football, that's why football dominates, because it is, like, you know, exciting. And
no, I don't think so, because I'll tell you what, it's weird, because you know what? If you go into a grocery store, you know what cereals fight over, not who has the best taste or who is the cheapest price, where they are on the shelf. That's what cereals fight over. Who's right in the eye line?
The best cereal is Trix. There's no discussion on that.
No, Trix stinks.
Trix is the best.
It's a little fruity.
I love Trix.
So here's the... But that's it. Because it's in their eye line, they see it. They fight over position. Sodas fight over positions in the store. It's all about who's going to see you, where you're going to be seen, and how you're going to be seen.
Usually...
So if they pull a 5-1 on the eye line, you think that's going to be the number one or whatever?
I don't think it's going to be the number one, but I think it's going to sell more than it did when it's on the bottom of the shelf.
But don't don't they position that based on like prior sales data?
No.
Yes.
They position that on how much the company
they
pays.
Do.
Oh, listen,
yes,
listen.
That's
wrong again.
Listen, I am the assistant head of the produce department. We do in fact position things by how they sell.
Well, produce
thank
is
you.
Different. Whoa. Produce is different. How many different kinds of produce companies do you have fighting over space over there?
A lot.
How many?
More than I can count. We got like more than I can count.
How many melons do we have over there?
How many smoothies do we have over there?
I'm talking about
how many
produce.
Of the fresh kitchen things? How many of the fresh kitchen things do we?
These are not
the cut. How many times do we reorganize the cut fruit? How many times do we reorganize?
We also
the
say
salads?
We have
how
fresh fruit.
How many times
fruit?
Do we reorganize the packaged vegetables? So, I mean, we organize everything based on sales.
I don't think so. You're saying that, how do you know which tomato is selling best?
Easy. So you know that thing we got, the zebra?
Well, that thing never works.
You scan
it. It's a piece of junk.
You scan it, and you go to movement, and it'll tell you how many get sold.
And you, so you reposition them every day?
Years.
So you reposition those fruits every day?
No.
Well, why not? What sold the day before should be in front.
No, we reposition them.
I'll tell you what,
every quarter. I do
price.
It, we get like a change every quarter. Reposition.
It's price. Price point is what's most important to people.
Who's the CEO of Kroger, Scott?
I have no idea.
His name is... Man, I can't think of his name now. He's not a very bright fellow.
Okay, I have a challenge. I want you to interview him and ask him all these questions.
No, I watched, like... If you watched, like... Kroger wanted to merge with Albertsons, and there was a whole trial at the Senate that he was doing, and the senators were making this man literally, like, shake. Like, he was visibly shaken. Yeah, Rodney McMullen. I wanted to say that, but Rodney McMullen didn't sound right.
No, wait a second. Miranda, what do you go to the grocery store? Do you worry about what kind of melon, or are you worried about the price?
The price.
There you go.
Yeah.
Simple.
But I am poor.
So you're saying they put the cheapest melons... Or the cheapest produce
whatever
at
is on
level.
Sale that week is what sells best. Has nothing to do with the brand. But again, that's on sale. That's advertisement. We're advertising that this is cheap. You put the big yellow sign in front of it. Of course that's going to sell.
Okay, so then by your logic, then the least expensive cereal should be at eye level in the cereal aisle.
No, I think that's wrong. I don't believe that's how they position it, but some people believe that. I don't believe that.
How do they position it?
And I believe they position it by how much they pay the store. Because you are not going to walk into a store with a local product and all of a sudden, just because you sell better than anybody, you're going to be given the top slot at the store. That's not going to happen. I remember when Kroger started to sell the local ice cream. They had a horrible spot. I mean, I don't think they were even in the ice cream aisle. That's because the ice cream aisle, the big ice cream companies like Breyers, said, we don't want you in here.
But isn't that based on sales figures?
You have to look at sales numbers.
How could you look at sales numbers? They hadn't sold any there. They're
exactly.
A new company. How are they ever going to sell when you've got them in a different aisle?
Why would you set them up with a prime spot if you don't know that they're going to sell?
Okay.
How can you make them sell if they're not in a prime spot?
What needs to happen is, Scott, you need to start a grocery store. Matthew, you need to start a grocery store.
I'm all down for this.
And we are going to see... Who makes the most sense?
I need some venture funding, guys.
Everything will be free in my store. There you go. It'll all be free. You can have anything you want. Come in and take whatever you want.
You wouldn't be in business very long.
No, but I'd be the number one sell. Everything would be gone. I'd be cleaned out after a day. And Matt would sell nothing that day because he's charging.
Okay, who makes the most, what is that, revenue?
I'd make no revenue, but I'd be gone. I'd be product free and out of that business. And that's essentially what they're doing with the WNBA. They're not giving them equal footing. Give them equal footing, and if they don't get the ratings, then you can say something. But until you give them equal footing, you can't say that they won't.
That makes sense.
There are lots of videos on the internet specifically one guy who does it that I've seen. But he walks around and he'll say, "Do you want $1 or a courtside WNBA ticket to the Lakers?" To the LA, whatever that woman's team name is. And everybody takes that dollar.
That's terrible.
See, that's demeaning.
Nobody wants to watch it. I'm sorry.
Okay, I guess that one person speaks for everybody.
I mean, to be fair, I don't watch basketball at all, so I wouldn't be watching it anyway.
I don't know what that anecdote had to do with anything.
Yeah, I don't.
Honest to God, what did that have to do with anything?
You said that people would watch it if they.
Right, and you're talking
time
because one person turns down the tickets, nobody's going to watch it in America.
One person? I mean, he has a whole series of doing this.
Honestly, it's all so boring. Like, even watching my kids play sports, I'm like super excited because like my kids are doing it. But I'm like, do we have to stay the whole time?
That's the most common feeling about sports.
Boredom.
Yeah, most people are just like, this is...
$1 billion later. Well, how do you feel about teachers getting paid poorly?
I think they should probably get paid more. They teach the future of
people. Gotta make those revenues.
They get paid pretty well for most of them in public districts for 9 months. They do, if you look at the salaries. Not every school district is going to be the same, but for the most part, if you compare it on a nine-month basis with what the median salary is, you know, in the private sector, they're compensated pretty well.
I don't know. I just have never seen a female's sport put on display like I see men's sports. Now, I don't know why that is. If they weren't watched, they're not watched. Okay, but I think you need to give them a try. See what's going on there. You know, we put stuff on television all the time that people don't watch. I mean, the Olympics are on every 4 years. Now, some years it's watched by a lot of people if there's something competitive going on, and some years people could care less.
So you don't think it's because of the market factor, Scott? I mean, honestly, you don't think that if there was a market and there was money to be made, that they would broadcast this?
I think that there are things that go on in back rooms all the time that nobody will ever know about. Where the
That's
NBA...
a conspiracy, Scott.
No.
You're not into conspiracies.
No. That's a fact.
I think that's wrong.
When you say it, it's a fact.
Well, exactly. Well, now you're catching on to how this show works. That's
right.
Exactly how it works. No, there are people, and I'm sure in the NBA, who have a vested interest in having their games on, who make sure that those television stations do not put the WNBA games on when their games are on, and they let those television stations know that they will pull things. That happened all the time. In there used to be, when pay-per-view first started, and these are facts that people can look up, there were companies trying to drive other companies out, and they'd say, if you air their stuff, even if it's not on the same day, if you even air it on pay-per-view, I'm not giving you my stuff. And they knew their stuff generated more money, so they would do it.
So the NBA owners are a bunch of sexists.
I don't think that makes you sexist. I think that makes you capitalist. I think you want to keep your stuff on, but can we say it's because of fair footing and nobody would watch the WNBA? I don't think that's it at all.
We'll never know.
I don't think we will ever know, unfortunately, but I thank you for calling in.
All right, have a good one.
All right, bye-bye. Phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. This is something. I don't know. Whatever. So have we figured out anything here?
On what?
I don't know. People were passionate a second ago about this whole thing.
About the women's sports thing?
What does NBA stand for?
National Basketball Association.
Okay.
Let's go on to another topic.
So this is basketball talk.
Yes. The WNBA would be...
People
the
get bent out of shape about sports. Mm-hmm. It's a weird thing. I don't know why that is, but they do. They get very upset about sports. It's a whole thing. Okay, here we go. Let's go on to the next topic. Travis Kelce sparked outrage by liking several social media posts with President Donald Trump in them.
Wait, who was it? Who did that?
Travis Kelce. Football player.
What about him? Sorry.
What are you doing?
Taylor Swift's boyfriend.
Taylor Swift's boyfriend.
Yeah.
There you go.
I know who he is. What about him?
He liked pictures of Donald Trump.
Oh, this again. Okay, yes.
This again.
How dare he like a social media post?
So is this fair that people got a... No?
I share Kanye stuff all the time. Do I support Nazis? No. But...
He went
Nazis?
On.
Wait, what?
So,
I think my headset went out there for a second. Did you say Nazis?
Kanye West likes Nazis.
Kanye West went on to InfoWars and basically just started rambling on a whole bunch of anti-Semitic Nazi stuff. Yes.
Oh, well, I must have missed that.
If Kanye posts something, I'm going to like it. Until he...
Because?
Because I love him.
Because?
He gets me. We're on the same wavelength, but not about the Nazi things. Everything but the Nazi things.
Oh, okay. Well...
Like the whole Pete Davidson thing, I had Kanye's back the whole time.
What happened there?
Yeah, I was gonna say, I have no idea.
Pete Davidson was dating Kim Kardashian.
I remember that.
Yeah, and so Kanye made the whole song basically threatening to murder Pete Davidson.
Because he's dating his ex-wife?
Yeah.
Well, it's ex.
Well, wouldn't you?
No, that's your ex-wife.
Kidding. No, Kanye is married now to somebody else, but he's still in the middle of a concert. Said, run back to me, Kimberly.
Yeah. Apparently she's happy with somebody else.
I don't know why he likes... You know, there are so many interviews that both of them are in, and they're just, like, arguing, like, mid-interview, and I'm like, man.
I feel like if...
They should have done been divorced.
Kanye West and I met... We would take over the world. Like, our brains together.
Well, okay.
Yeah. So that is why I like Kanye West stuff.
Let's go that route. Now, you know, this show would be good for somebody with ADD, because every question I've asked, I don't think anybody ever answers the question. They just go off on some other tangent.
You are allowed to like anybody's social media post that you want to like.
Okay, thank you. Yes. Back to real world here. Okay. What do you got, Matt?
I don't think that people should be hating them for liking a post. I mean, like, did you ever find out what the post was, by the way?
No, it was just pictures.
Yeah, you see, but you said pictures, like, that...
His friends had put up.
Yeah.
Is it okay or not?
Is it a picture of just Donald Trump, or...
I don't know.
It's naked Donald Trump.
Is it okay? Is it okay? Mike! God! Just yes or no?
He's naked?
No, he's not naked.
Okay. Well, if you're in the public and in the spotlight as he is, you're going to get more attention and more flack for things that you do. I don't know. I mean, who he likes.
Maybe he was liking it, like, out of sarcasm. You know, like, have you ever done that?
Like something out of sarcasm. How do you like something out of sarcasm?
Like, it's so atrocious of a post.
But how do you know?
You're actually making fun of somebody.
But how do you know?
By saying
that. How does that person know that you think it's atrocious?
Okay, so... I'm trying to think of something. I don't know. Hey, Matt. What's something atrocious on the... That's definitely atrocious, yeah.
That's the post.
What is that?
That's the post.
Okay,
that's
well,
Donald Trump shaking a lady's hand.
Okay.
That's the post.
So it's a normal post, like
so,
I said.
Yes, it's just a post of... I assume somebody who is his friend. The caption reads, after years of covering the UFC at ESPN, I finally got to see it live in person. Game changer. Thank you, Dana White. Yada, yada. And then it's just a picture of this lady with Donald Trump, where I assume she had met him at the UFC match.
Okay. Now, would the picture have meant any...
No, Paul. I don't think it was anything political.
Maybe
it's
because that lady was pretty. And he's dating Taylor Swift, so he can't like pretty ladies' pictures, or else she's gonna write a song about him. So he has to wait until it's a picture of a lady with another man in it. So when Taylor asks him, he's like, "No, I was liking it because of Donald Trump."
You know, I used to like it in the good old days when I would ask a question, would get an answer.
So
it used to be like that at one point.
What, yesterday?
Yeah, like earlier this morning it went that way. I really don't know what happened tonight.
That was a legit reason why he could have...
I don't understand what the picture... Who cared what the picture was? The question was, basically, these are just jumping off points.
Well, I just...
Is liking somebody's picture on social media mean you should catch flack? That's all I'm asking here.
I just needed to know if it was a picture of Donald Trump and then like a whole...
I told you it was a picture of Donald Trump.
Yes, but... It's a picture with Donald Trump. There's a difference. And I also...
There's a lady and a man.
Yeah, and also...
Who cares?
The caption says nothing about Donald Trump in it. So it's definitely not even political. He just liked the
I don't think we said it was political.
I know, but that's why
impersonator.
Yeah, but that's why people. That's why people were giving him flack, I assume.
Okay.
So I mean, I don't think it matters because I think he liked it because
the question was again, is it okay to like? That's the question.
Wait, yes. Yes, it's okay.
I thought
the question was if it's okay to bash him because of it.
Yeah, no.
No bashing, but...
Too late. They already did.
The liking of it's fine.
We don't hate around here unless it's a guy with dip in his mouth or jelly roll.
You got that right. Those people with dip, they really should be shipped out of the country right now. But you can do that dip if you want to, I guess, just not in a picture. That's it. Simple. Okay, next subject here. Now you gotta listen very closely because this crowd's a little rough tonight. Okay, so you gotta listen to this very closely, and we're gonna try to get an answer at the end of this that actually has to do with the question. See how this works?
Okay,
This is a question. We're gonna ready. Everybody ready?
That's a long
brace
question.
Yourself. I know. Brace yourself. It's a long story here. It's gonna be a ride. Here we go. A woman wrote in to Dear Prudence saying her boyfriend is not in love with her.
Leave him.
No, see, we're not done. No, hold on. No. They say I love you to each other, but she asked if he was in love with her. He said he thinks being in love is just the butterflies at the beginning of the relationship. It doesn't really mean anything. Should she be worried? There you go.
What?
Yeah, I knew.
This makes no sense.
Miranda, did you understand the question?
Yeah.
There we go.
He didn't say he hates her.
No, he didn't. He says he loves her every night. He just said he's not in love with her because he believes in love is that butterfly feeling you get at the beginning of a relationship.
And what was the question?
The question was, should she be worried? Because he said...
No.
Okay, well, thank God we finally got there.
Next question. I don't think she should be worried. I think that... I think that maybe this guy is just as confused as I am because I'm a little.
What are you confused about?
I'm a little.
Mike answered the question. Well, Miranda's listen. Got it.
So
I certainly understand it. What don't you understand?
So
I
mean, she loves her, but he's not in love with her.
But we don't know that. I mean, I don't know that to be true.
But he says every night, "I love you." Mm-hmm. If he didn't love her, he wouldn't be saying
he's not in love with her. Is what he says. He says in love is butterflies at the beginning of a relationship.
I mean. I guess to her his definition is wrong, but either way I think she's still overreacting here because I mean he still obviously loves her. He's just like, oh, we're not at the beginning of the relationship anymore.
She doesn't like it.
Yeah. It's not the puppy dog phase anymore.
I think that.
Well, see, you gave it a name though, puppy dog.
Yeah.
What is that?
It's just like it's just a term you hear a lot in like movies like puppy dog love. It's like
those butterflies. And
yeah, yeah.
Well, okay. So
same,
what is
same,
that?
Same time period.
The puppy dog love, like
yeah.
butterflies, like. Yeah,
and they called it puppy love.
Okay.
Donny Osmond.
Donny Osmond.
Back for any of you guys talking.
Glad we have a nice musical interlude there tonight.
So I explained to my patients that like just because everybody in the room speaks English, we don't all speak the same language because everybody has different definitions such as this. Everybody has different body language. Everybody has different viewpoints. So that's when like assertive communication comes into play, and I think that's what they need in this situation.
You don't think that there's a difference between loving somebody and being in love with them? I certainly think there is.
I think that there is. However, I can't tell somebody else how they feel, so maybe they are in love and they just view it as just plain love.
I think the fact that he needs to tell her that he's not in love with her is a problem.
I think we should just staple down a definition of love. That way there's no.
There
like,
is no definition.
See,
we've tried it many a times.
See, that's the issue.
What's love, Miranda?
Caring for someone or something.
I think Merriam-Webster needs to come up with an exact definition that we all live by.
See, but that could...
Like, I love my coworkers. I care about them.
But you're not in love with them.
No.
There you go.
Like, so what is love? Does that mean, like, I'll let them stick their penis in me? Like, no. Like, like what is being in love?
Well, that's a little different than anything I met.
So, like, what is in love?
Next subject.
What do you think?
I don't even know about what now.
Well, what is in love?
Yes.
Like, what would I don't know what the definition of that would be.
I don't know. I always just kind of thought they were the same thing. So,
like, is it love with sexual attraction?
Could be.
But then he would still have sexual attraction just because he is not in the honeymoon stage. Like, just because you're not in the honeymoon stage doesn't mean you don't have that sexual attraction anymore.
Oh, thank God a call's coming. this is probably somebody calling to shut us down. Go ahead, caller.
Let's talk more about that.
No, let's not talk more about that. Let's not. We've crossed that bridge now. We don't need to go back down that one.
All right, there you go.
Thank you, bye-bye. Well, you know how it is. Every so often, things just come out, apparently. But.
I don't know. Like, my teachers in high school said I'm missing a part of my brain, like the front that, like, is the filter that, like, I
no,
have
no, no.
what is
no.
acceptable and what's
you know,
not.
So. I think that was fine. I think that was, you certainly used the correct word. You didn't slang it up there for us or anything. Mike? What do you think? Difference between love and in love.
I like you said, I love my coworkers. They're great people, but I'm not in love, and I wouldn't let any of them. Yes, there is a difference. If you are in love, you think about that person constantly. That person's welfare is more important than your own. That's being in love.
Okay.
I've never been in love, so I don't know.
Well, that's good. Matt, what do you think?
If you're thinking about them all the time, that like is like an obsession, and that's where it becomes unhealthy.
Okay. Go ahead.
I don't know. I'm not a relationship person. I think that... I mean, I see the thing there, because, like, I mean, like, you love your parents, and you love your friends, and that kind of thing, but, like, I think it's just, I think it's all the same.
It is?
No, it's the same in the fact that it's called love. I mean, it's just, I think it's just different kinds of love. I don't know why it's specific, like, I love you, but I'm not in love with you. It's just, that just sounds goofy to me.
Yeah, I don't understand why he would say that, because it sounds like they're just not in the honeymoon stage.
Problem. It's a problem.
Yeah.
No, I mean, I guess I just don't understand the question. I mean, if he says he loves you every night, then, like, why, what's the point in asking? Let me phrase it this way, I guess. If she had to ask if he
because
was
she,
in love
she
with her.
Because she thinks that. Something's up.
Yeah.
Because she thinks that.
If she had to ask if he was in love with her, I don't think that it's going too hot. So
I don't know, you gotta ask the real questions, like, would you love me if I didn't have arms and legs?
You see, but the thing is, they're always gonna,
like,
say yes.
You gotta ask the real stuff.
They're always gonna say yes. You just gotta see, the thing is, you gotta hope they actually stick around when it comes to
a while back, like it was a while ago, I asked Glenn if he would love me if I did not exist, and he said yes. So that's how I know he's lying about that shit.
What? Yeah. If you didn't exist, how could he love you?
Yep. If you didn't exist, there wouldn't be much to love.
That
wouldn't be there.
That was the trick.
And he said yes.
Yeah, because I've asked things like, "Would you love me if I was a spaghetti noodle?" And he'd be like, "Well, did I meet you as a spaghetti noodle, or did you just turn into a spaghetti noodle?"
Now, these are the important questions, right?
That's how you know if the
lie is
real.
I don't know. I feel like this is a question you ask somebody and, like...
That sounds how you know if somebody's lying.
I used to, like, ask my parents this type of stuff when I was little, too. Like, would you still let me be your child if I was a Pomeranian?
A Pomeranian?
Yeah. They were like, no, you'd be our dog.
Right. See, that seems more like a logical answer there.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's fascinating.
It's just like the things that go through women's heads. I'm not the only one.
Oh, okay.
That's like asked that stuff. Like, I know my friends have been like, "Hey, if I was a snake, would you still love me?" And they'd just,
you know, my favorite thing. My favorite thing to do when people ask me questions like that is to just like before they even finish the question, I already have it predetermined in my head that as soon as the last syllable is said, I'm gonna hit them with a hard no. That way they just never bother me.
So you're not telling the truth either.
Maybe.
No, because you said you've already made up your mind. It's going to be no.
That's fair. They could say anything, but, I mean, like, if they're like, would you love me, if in my head instantly the answer is no, because like, they're not. So, I mean, there's that. But, like, I just feel like if you
I think real love is if you start listening at the beginning of this show and you're still here at the end.
No, real
love. That's love.
Real love is the, like, the things your children says to you. Like, when my daughter is like,
oh, okay. What?
It's a hobgoblin. So my daughter will say stuff like, if you weren't my mom, I would scream and cry until the other mom leaves me alone and you find me. And I'm like, well, thank you.
Like, what about a nightmare?
She's
so crazy. Should this man be worried or should this woman be worried?
No, I don't think so.
Well, I mean, she should, because clearly this man is being a little brutal.
I mean, yeah, I mean, I think
he could have just had a bad day at work, and is like, I'm so sick of you asking me this all the time.
Well, I don't know that she asked him a lot. I think this is more of a roundabout type of thing.
I don't know.
I don't think you should tell somebody that.
Just lie to him?
He could have just been like, I don't even like you.
Why don't girls ever learn? And it is a girl thing. I've asked this many times. Why don't girls ever understand that guys are putting on a show for a long period of time in the beginning of a relationship? You really don't see the truth for quite a while.
I mean, see, the worst part is, like, when we ask Carrington about this, I think Carrington even says that she knows that it's like, the show's happening. And she just...
I think, well, of course.
You enjoy it.
So, yeah, but it ends. So the show ends.
So I have this bracelet.
Yeah.
And it says Elegant Illusion. And it's kind of like my take on humanity is that we're all just illusions. Like, I don't know the real you. I don't know the real you or the real you. You guys are just showing me what you want me to see about you. So that's why I like.
See, I feel like I know the real you.
I don't know.
I know we've heard a lot tonight. I feel like I might know the real you. I don't know how much deeper we could get at this point, to be honest with you.
My goal is to be elegant. That's why I have the bracelet.
Well, no, I think it's fine. I think it's just fine.
I want a tattoo on my neck.
Oh, okay. Well, see, I know that now.
Elegant Illusion.
What don't I know at this point?
Well, I mean, I guess you don't know the therapist version of Miranda. You've never been one in my group, so you don't get to see that part of me.
Well, if I keep showing up, I'll probably end up in one. There'll be no doubt about that.
Oh, my.
It's just one of those things that happens after a period of time.
The unit is fun. You all should take a little BHU vacation.
Miranda?
Yes.
Are you in any kind of therapy? Just asking.
I teach the therapy. I'm the teacher.
Yeah.
Aren't you comforted, Mike, by that?
And you let these people out in the world after you? Okay.
So what advice do you give to people?
It depends.
What advice would you give to this little group here? This has been like a therapy session tonight, I think.
So with her, it would definitely be, I teach something called like the jackal and the giraffe communication. So
the who?
It's called the jackal and the giraffe communication.
Okay.
So you want to communicate like the giraffe, and like I have a little puppet. Not the jackal, because the jackal is mean. He's aggressive with his communication. You want to be like the giraffe and be assertive, not passive aggressive, not aggressive, and passive.
So what about us? I mean, you've known us to some degree tonight. What therapy do you think we need?
I don't need. No, I need like the doctor to give me like the biopsych.
No, I mean, clearly you can see that certainly people here have some problems that they need to work through. What would you say?
I don't know.
No, go ahead. We don't mind.
This is literally my first day meeting Mike.
You can go ahead. Please, Dad. No, go ahead. We don't mind.
I met Mike 2 hours ago.
Yeah, but that's fine. I've diagnosed Mike in less than 2 hours, so it's fine.
No, I don't know. I would have to, do a deep.
But don't you think there are some problems here?
No, I don't.
None at all?
I think y'all are swell fellas.
We're swell. Okay, well, there you go. That's how I feel about it.
Yeah.
But no, there's some problems over there, clearly.
Over where?
Over in that area of the room.
No.
You don't notice there's some commitment issues over there and some fears? And
oh, I'll admit to the commitment issues 150%.
Hey, there you go.
I'll give you that one.
I mean,
that's a given.
The commitment issue isn't an issue unless it's affecting your everyday life. Like, if you can't commit to a job, how long have you been working at Kroger?
Oh, I've been at Kroger since high school. I've been there for 4 years, going on 5.
So, he obviously doesn't have too much of a commitment issue if he can commit to his job.
But obviously there's some kind of commitment to people. Gonna be the giraffe or the jackal.
No, well, I don't know. I don't think Matthew has too much of a communication issue. I mean, you guys debated the sports pretty well.
Yeah, I thought so.
Oh, I mean, I just like to argue. See, that's
like,
kind of my thing.
He wasn't like
argumentative. That's a whole other problem. Argument? Well, no. See, that'd be the end. But
I mean, it's okay to argue as long as you're being respectful during the argument.
I have been arguing with my family and just about everybody since forever. I've been arguing about politics with my aunt and mom since, like, you know, sixth grade. So.
And you've broken two microphones now.
I have. Yeah.
I have. You're running up to two. All right. So, what have we learned tonight, Mike?
I've learned to think it over before I commit to this again.
Yeah, this is a very interesting program on Friday night, I think.
Yes.
See, it's fascinating to be here, isn't it? You really learn.
I'm wide awake now, which I wasn't.
I told you it would happen. It's one of those things.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm going to be able to sleep tonight. I think I need therapy.
Yeah. Mike,
well,
don't want to go. There you go. Miranda, what have you learned?
That NBA stands for...
Okay.
National Basketball Association. I was about to say no basketball.
That's what you picked up from this 2 hours.
Yes.
Okay. Matt, what have you learned?
Apparently capitalism isn't the system for sports.
Not only have you said that.
I mean, the whole argument was
don't
that
start
was
it
that.
Again.
Don't start it again.
I mean, the whole argument was that, you know, there was that we didn't put it on TV, and we didn't put it on TV because the NBA and the NFL already have a market, and you can't. Then there's already competing markets.
But we don't have a fair market, is what we're saying. Not that capitalism is not the way to go.
Yeah, for sports.
No,
it's not. Capitalism doesn't create a fair market for sports.
My friend Candy worked at Kroger. Do you know her?
I don't know.
Do you know Candy?
I don't think so.
She worked there for a really long time. Yeah, she like just recently quit.
Oh, but see, I don't pay attention to most people there.
No, I tell Candy to come on the show sometimes.
Really? Who is it?
Yeah.
What'd she do?
She works in the unit with me. We have really good conversations.
How old is she?
She's like Matt's age.
Oh, you didn't know her?
She worked at the other Kroger that you work for them, though.
The one by Walmart?
Yeah, wait. No, she worked at the
Southland.
Mall.
Yeah. We had.
Oh, I didn't know if like all Kroger associates know each other.
No. People in the store barely know each other.
Yeah, but well, different departments don't even know.
This has been a fascinating 2 hour period here, but I think it's been funny and interesting and illuminating to some degrees. What do you think, Matt?
You know, one of the more interesting shows we've done in a minute.
Certainly was one of the more interesting shows that have happened in quite some time. What's coming up next hour on your show?
So if my friend Adam actually does manage to make it here, I do believe he probably will. I mean, as per he had said earlier. But we're going to talk about the CIA overthrowing Australia. If he shows up, if he doesn't show up, then it'll probably be...
You and Cody.
Yeah, me and Cody.
Cody, stay tuned and talk about whatever you want to talk about.
Yeah, honestly, that's fine. I'm okay with that.
Oh, my God.
I think it went well last week.
I'll tell you, this show has been very interesting, and it just goes to show you can make changes and still go on strong. See, Mike, you'd come back, wouldn't you? Don't be so hesitant.
Oh, you know I would.
Of course you would. And Miranda, you would come back.
Absolutely.
You had fun.
Yes, I always have fun.
So you thought you'd be like falling asleep and tired.
I did.
It's
yeah.
It's exhilarating to
yes,
be here.
I go to sleep at like 8.
I now know that you can buy bags of kitty litter, personal size,
Matt,
to put in the car.
Mike. Wish I could remember everybody's name. Begins with an M. So, great. Now, were Tyler and Jerome listening?
It's Glenn. Well, Glenn Jerome, but yeah. Yeah, why can't you get his name?
I have such a block. Fruitcake Toss and Elvis.
Yes, they both were listening. They were texting me throughout it. So.
And what was their take on this whole thing?
So, Tyler said that real love is the love you have for your kids. And I said, yes, but what is in love? He said... the definition that Mike just gave, and being in love is a bond that evolves.
All right. And what did and what that? What did the other boy say?
Glenn hasn't said anything. I think he might have fell asleep. I don't know.
And that's why I can't remember his name.
So
yeah, well,
understand.
Most people, I think, might have been. Matt's coming up next, and I would thank Mike Wilson and Miranda Hundley and, of course, Matt Morgan for being here tonight.
Wait, I want to give a shout-out.
Oh, go ahead.
Okay. Go to Kelly Jordan at Tattoo Lodge to get really cool tattoos. I know you guys can't see my tattoos, but they are pretty badass. I think the three men in here would agree. That's Kelly Jordan at Tattoo Lodge.
What more can you say at this particular? That's nice. So you're going to get another tattoo
Tuesday. Yeah,
Tuesday. There you go. Yeah. What is it?
So it's for my sons. It's so my son's name is Maximus, and I'm getting the helmet from Gladiator, the Maximus helmet, and then the quote means "Fortune favors the brave." It's in Latin. My son Wyatt, his name means brave. So
now you don't have any like marriages planned for Tuesday, do you?
No.
Okay, that you're gonna be running out on, because that's where we started tonight. No, I know you like to plan things when you have those weddings set up.
Yeah,
it could be one of those things. We've had a good time here tonight. Matt's coming up next for this night. Scott Spears heading for the dugout.
Safe and healthy. So we show them how. And we tell them with honest conversations that let them know what we expect. Not just one time, but every chance we get.